The Torah isn't a book of stories. It's lessons and it's direction to us how we should live our life. However, at this point, we are in the middle of a riveting tale that takes place between 12 brothers, which are also the source of the 12 tribes. These are the sons of Jacob. As we spoke previous weeks, Yosef has been sold into slavery. His brothers even contemplated killing him. Then through a series of twists, ups and downs, in each case, Joseph showing his godly powers, his grace, and his talent rises to the top. Joseph lands up in prison more than once. And in the last case, he actually foretells and deciphers the dreams of two great dignitaries from the house of Pharaoh. He interprets the dream correctly. One of them is killed, and the other one is returned to his post. And he says, "Please remember me when you go back to Pharaoh's court and tell him that," and he describes himself, "I am incarcerated." It doesn't quite work out the way Joseph had intended. And it takes another 2 years for Pharaoh to have a dream, and his dreams multiple had no interpretation. It was then that the cupbearer remembered that Joseph was languishing in prison and he had this talent of understanding and deciphering dreams. And he reveals to Pharaoh that there is this Hebrew, an Ivri, which is languishing in the prison, and perhaps we should bring him out and perhaps he could throw some light upon the dreams. Indeed, he is taken out of prison, he's brought before Pharaoh, he's cleaned up, he interprets Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh gets so excited by finally having a good interpretation, something that feels right, and says, "Who better than Joseph himself should be put into position to execute the interpretation of the dream?" Now, Joseph is promoted to the second most powerful man in Egypt. Egypt being a superpower means that Joseph is the second most powerful man in the world. Recognize over here, the rest of his family do not know that he's alive. And once again, we see Joseph, despite the adversity, despite so much working against him, rising to the top. Ish matzliach, he's showing his hand and his success that he walks with Hashem, that Hashem projects through him. Joseph is a mere 30 years of age at this point. Pharaoh gives him a wife, Osnat, and he has two children in the land of Egypt. Now, this is the point that I wanted to focus on for a second, because we look at the names that he gives to his children, and we see that indeed it was a great feat that he was able to live in diaspora out of Israel, very different than the patriarchs, his parents, his grandparents, his great-grandparents. They lived in the holiness of the land of Israel. And Joseph was in the depravity of the land of Egypt. Yet he was able to steer his children and keep them in a way that they retained their identity, that despite the fact that they were in diaspora, they clung to the ideals and the heritage that was handed down through the family lineage through Joseph. Sounds familiar, does it not? We're not in Israel, we're in diaspora. And so, to a large degree, have our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our great-great-great-grandparents, etc., going back to Joseph himself. The diaspora Jew is our story. Retaining our identity and our heritage is also our story, but at this point, it's also our responsibility. It can be done, and it needs to be done. Joseph shows us how one could live in a society at the top echelons, and yet at the same time, retain his identity, retain his respect for his heritage, retain and understand the responsibility that rests on his shoulder, the responsibility of perpetuation and handing it down to the next generation. His two sons are called Manasseh and Ephraim. And the simple translation of the words is, more than just a translation, it's a concept. Menashe represents the fact that Hashem has helped him forget all of his problems, forget his trauma, that is. He had a very traumatic experience, and his family placement, being sold into slavery and being put into prison. But at this point, he's at the peak of his existence. And that's Menashe, that Hashem has helped him forget all of this. But Ephraim is much more, is that he actually has helped me flourish in a place that's very not natural to be flourishing. That's what his two sons were called, and indeed that's what they represent. But getting back to my point of living in diaspora and recognizing and incubating ourselves to the degree that we can take what happens before us and with respect, with love, and with wisdom, hand it to our children, that our children too shall take the responsibility and the recognition that it's in their hand to live out the Jewish mission and indeed ensure the perpetuation to the next generation. This, in addition to a great story, is really the message to me and you, to each of us. Now go take on the day. Shalom.